Right, good afternoon. This is the Boat Christian Ministry. Good afternoon once again to everyone. I want to welcome us to the Boat Christian Ministry, where love and hope is profound. I want to welcome you all once again. I want to believe God has been good to us. It's a good thing to be in the presence of God Almighty. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Boat Christian Ministry. Today we will be fellowshipping. Today is our Bible study, and we get to look into God's Word to understand the mind of God for our lives and to take a look at what God's intention is for mankind and what is expected of us as children of God. If you're just joining us, you're welcome. This is the Boat Christian Ministry, and the mandate of this ministry is to proclaim the love of God and the hope of eternal life through the gospel and faith of Jesus Christ. That is what we are saddled with. That is our mandate. It is important that we understand the mind of God in our present age. Before we move on, I want us to go into God in prayer. I would like us to bow our heads as we begin to talk to God this afternoon. Briefly, let us commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Let us commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord. Let us begin to appreciate God for the gift of life that He has given to us to be in His presence today. It is a good thing to be in the presence of the Lord, and God is always faithful to provide us the needed help that we desire according to His own will, to steer us up, to help us to navigate through life itself. It is not by power, it is not by might, but by the Spirit of the Lord, by the Spirit of God. Let's appreciate God for giving us life and for making it possible for us to be gathered together today in fellowship. It's a good thing to be in God's presence, and God is always faithful. And I want to believe as we commit ourselves into the hands of the Lord today, God will bless our lives through His Word in Jesus' name. The Word of the Lord says the entrance of His Word gives light and understanding unto the simple. Pray that God Almighty will minister to our lives today in His presence in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. I want us to talk to God again concerning today's Bible study, that the Spirit of the Lord will minister to our hearts through His Word, that we will not trivialize the Word of God as we search through the Scriptures, as we look into God's words today, that the Holy Spirit will minister life to us where we've been struggling, that one word from God is able to change our lives, is able to transform our lives, is able to help us navigate through life and to make us reflect on where we are presently and where God wants to take us to. Let's pray that for grace to be the doer of the word and not the hearers only. It is the doer of God's words that gets blessed, not the hearers. Let's pray that God Almighty will bless us and will speak to our hearts, will speak to our lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so, our God in heaven, we thank you for today. We want to bless your name for making it possible for us to be gathered today in fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for that which you have been doing in our lives since the beginning of this week to now. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for us to be gathered in your presence this afternoon. Thank you for those who are able to join us. Thank you for those who will listen to this recording thereafter. I will pray that you bless us all in Jesus' name. As we look into your word, Lord, we pray that you speak to our hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for we know it is done. Take control, God. We want to see you today in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you are welcome to the Bold Christian Ministry. And part of what God is set to do in this generation in which we are is to make us understand his intention, his goal, to make us see through the lens of the scriptures, through his word, and to make us understand that he is willing to help us navigate through life. One moment, please. To help us to navigate through life. And it is important for us to understand that God's intention for mankind is to give us light in every step of the way, whereby we will not be stranded as individual or as a group of people who wants to make heaven at the end. And that's the reason for the gathering today, so that we can consider God's word and begin to educate ourselves through the lens of God, not through our own lens, but through the eyes of God. We're able to see and to be able to know the mind of God for our lives. Today we are considering a very important subject, and the topic we'll be looking at, if you've seen one of our flyers before, it's unlawful assembly, unlawful assembly. Now, when the Spirit of God ministered to me about the same subject, I got to understand that truly God is interested in impacting our lives and helping us see through the lens of ease what it means to be, to dwell in his presence. So what does the presence of God really is? How do we know that God is present in our midst when we are gathered together? For instance, there are so many denomination or interdenomination assemblies everywhere, churches and fellowships, different ministries, basically, as we may have it in our circle. We are looking at unlawful assembly. That means there is a prototype that God wants us to follow in terms of pattern, in terms of style, in terms of what his original design and how he wants men to gather to worship him. As we unravel the mystery behind the things that affect the growth of the church, the growth of different ministries, even as individuals, as Christians that we claim to be, as individuals, what are the things that could affect our growth as individual? That's what we are looking at. Well, I will be taking my reading first before we look into some other aspect of the scriptures in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now, this is the Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and when Paul writes that way, he puts someone in copy. For instance, if you read through Paul's letter, you will discover that whenever he writes, he likes to put some people in copy. And one of those they put in copy, just like you send an email, right? You send an email and then you put someone in copy so that, there will be witnesses about what you're writing. So Paul writes, and Sosthenes is one of the leader in a church in at Corinth. He had to put Sosthenes in copy. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes a brother. So this is an elder. Sosthenes is an elder in one of the churches in at Corinth. And I'll read, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, in verse 9, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in verse 10, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you. I'll stop there. Now, when Paul was writing, this is a church. This is a church. And Paul received a comprehensive report of what was going on at Corinth. Don't forget, we are considering unlawful assembly. That's the subject, unlawful assembly. Now, when Paul got this comprehensive report about the church at Corinth, which is not a church that is new, more like is not a newly converted that has a church that has a newly converted members. This is a church that is established. So those who are there, they are not new to reading the Bible or learning the scriptures. So he got a comprehensive report about what was going on, and the first thing he observed is that he got a report of a division among the brethren there. And this is a church that manifests the gift of God. They manifest different kind of gifts according to the grace of God upon their lives, and which means that there is a possibility for a church to, or for an assembly to have the gift of the Spirit in them. But then there could still be some kind of division. That was the first thing Paul noticed among the brethren which are at the church at Corinth. In verse 10, it says, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there is no division among you. Now, as we unravel what affects the growth of a church and different ministries and different assemblies and Christians as individuals too as well, because we as individuals, we are not left out. You will discover that God dwells in the midst of people who understand his mind, who are willing to let go of themselves. They don't put themselves forward first. They consider others, and they are able to dwell in unity. Where there is unity, the Spirit of God thrives in that same place. Now, you will discover as well that in the Garden of Eden, when man begin to rebel against the laws of God, there are things that could make God depart from an assembly, even from the life of a Christian. You just see the Spirit of the Holy Spirit will just, it won't struggle, it will just, what, it just step aside. You like to do your thing yourself, yeah, I will just step aside. So there are a lot of things that happen in church gathering today, even as individuals. There are things, there is an order of things, the way God wants things to be done. You remember in the Garden of Eden, the book of Genesis, you know, God used to come to the garden in the cool of the day as his custom is, to relate with Adam and Eve. But after giving them that instruction in the Garden of Eden not to eat of the fruits, the forbidden fruit, they had the fruit, and then God discovered that these people rebelled against me. I am going to just send them out of the garden because I cannot deal with this. There is an order of things, the way God wants things to be done in his church. Christ set the example. Remember Christ in the book of Matthew, when he went into the temple, and he saw people selling sheeps and different kind of things, different kind of transactions are going on in the temple, and he was so hungry, because that is what God would really do. He will scatter the whole place, and then he will just withdraw himself. You people can handle things yourself. Okay, go ahead. So this was a major concern in Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. He noticed different kind of things, different things that are not supposed to be in a church, that are not supposed to be, you're not, someone should not be hearing those kind of things in a gathering of the saints. It should not be, those things should not actually be there. And he noticed those things. And the first thing he noticed was a division. So there were divisions. So what led to this division? If you read on, in verse 10, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." In verse 11, "For it has been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." That's the second thing he discovered. There are contentions. There is individual is just struggling to, this is, I am the one that has, that must be here. I'm the one that must be seated here. So there were contention, different kind of struggles going on there. This is something that is evident, is physical. You can see that there is contention among them. I'm supposed to be the one to teach today. I'm supposed to be the one to lead the choruses today. I'm supposed to be the one. So there are contentions. Different kind of things were happening in that same assembly. And that is not a pattern of what Christ came to do on earth. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17, there is a mandate. The mandate is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the mandate. And Christ followed his mandate. And anyone that is not falling in line with his mandate is doomed for hell. That person will go to hellfire if you don't align with this mandate. So what gives birth to an unlawful assembly and an assembly that does not work in the right order God intended You find things like division, you find things like contention, and there are other things that, you know, Paul discovered in at the church at Corinth. In chapter 1, he discovered contention. Chapter 2, the same. Chapter 3, chapter 5, fornication. Chapter 6, accusations. Chapter 11, heresy. And on like that. In a church that displays the gift of... So that means the gift of God is meant to support the growth of the church. When God gives gifts, it's so that a church can be orderly. But that is the opposite. These people have the gift of, they manifest the gift of God, but yet there are still some other things that are not supposed to be in the assembly of God's children that you still find in the midst of the church at Corinth. Obviously, God cannot dwell in the midst of a disorderly church. It is important that we understand the mind of God for our lives as individuals and the church as a whole. First, it starts with the leadership of the church. The mandate is very important. When God calls a man, or when you are signed, or maybe you are the head of the house, there is a need for one to understand the reason why God puts you there, or the reason why God put a leader there in that local assembly. If the mandate, if there is no mandate to follow, take for instance, someone was assigned to an assembly or enrolled to be a pastor in a church. If that pastor does not try to understand the mandate of that local assembly, he has to go and check the records of the person, of the treaties, what the first person that pioneered the church, what was the vision, what did God told the person. What if that person does not try to find out, that kind of church would not be able to follow the pattern and the things God wants to do or wants to achieve in that local assembly. Mandate is important. God does not do anything. He always have a mandate. There's something he gives to a man that this is what I want to do through you. This is what I want to do through this assembly here. So it is a responsibility of the leader or the head of the house or whoever is the head of any place to find out what is the mandate. And it is important for the person to understand, to have a strong conviction in the mandate that is being, the assembly is being saddled with. Because without these things, there will be an unlawful assembly. That means people will be doing things the way they like. They can just stroll in anywhere. Anybody can just take. There will be disorder in that same assembly, in that same home. If the man does not know why he's in the house, or the reason why God has placed him as the head of the home, the home will be in serious chaos. Because he has not tried to understand why he is the head of the home, or the church is the pastor does not know the reason why he is the head of the church, and he doesn't even know what the mandate of that church is. He can read it through paper, but he does not really know what God wants to do. There is no clear conviction, and conviction will come only through an encounter. You can read a vision statement of a company. You can read a mission statement of a company. If you don't believe in that, that will inform the way you do your work in that organization. That's why you see some people get removed from an organization. They get sacked. Some get suspended. Some are, you know, because that will inform what you do on a daily basis on your desk. Then what you find out is the violations of God's law. People will start violating different kind of laws, rules, and regulations that are put in place, and the things God had given to the carrier, the pioneer of that assembly. And God does not, that's why you find a lot of assemblies, a lot of churches, that when you go in, you can tell yourself that there is no God here. There's no God here. Because the church is full of activities, is full of jamborees. There is no clear-cut direction. There is nothing is leading you to Christ. Nothing is, your growth in that same assembly is the same 5 years after, is the same 10 years after, is the same. No changes. There is not even the person leading the assembly, the person who is the local, who is the pastor of that assembly, there is nothing is changing in that assembly. Nothing. It's still the same. And that those are the churches that we have in this end time. And you walk into some home, you see the way the husband is talking to the wife, you see the way the wife is talking to the husband, you see the way the kids are behaving. There is no lack of mandate, no clear-cut order on what they've not really discovered, why God put them together, or the reason why the man is the head of the home. There is nothing like that. So you enter into some assembly, when you listen to the message, there is no life in the message. Nothing can change a man from the message that is being preached. The Tower of Babel, when the people started building things without following, without even inquiring from God, should we build? In fact, why do we even want to build? They didn't even ask God. That shows you that God is interested in every aspect of our lives. He's interested in every. So before you take any step, before you do anything, you have to inquire of Him. Because whatever we do can alter the arrangement of God for our lives. If you see somebody just take off like a jet into wherever he wants to go to, you know, these days you find people just want to do what they want because they feel they are at liberty, they are not responsible to anyone, they don't even think about if their decision is going to affect the younger generation, if their decision is going to affect their home, if their decision, you just see someone wake up and say, if before he even tells the wife, he has gone to buy a car, a new car, or a house somewhere, and then he brings the people. He said, "I just want you to be happy. This is the new." You just took a decision that will affect. If God did not say that you are going to have a house in your lifetime, you are wasting your time. God wants us to prosper, that's right. But if God did not, if there is no Lamborghini in the order of your life, of what is written of you, you are wasting your time. That person is wasting his time. Because that thing that you want to implement is going to affect the balance of what God wants to do through you. Because you were not there when God formed you. You were not there. You were not part of the, say, okay, let's form Jeremiah. Okay, this one is a prophet. I've ordained him, this one. So at the age of 37, I will encounter this one. This one, so you were not there when God was shaping you. You were not. So if what you are doing is outside the will of God, if what the local assembly is doing, if they just discover, okay, I think we should be doing praise and worship for 1 hour. Should be doing praise and worship for 1 hour. Okay, it's. If that is what you are executing in that local assembly and is not in line with what the design of God's program for that assembly, what you are going to see is that the what you are implementing will not have any way of changing anybody in that assembly. They won't be alive in the program you are implementing. So the program you are implementing is flesh-based, is not spirit-based. You are not inspired by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So you can't just come and say, okay, we'll be spending our program now. We don't want to spend more than 1 hour, 30 minutes. Did you inquire from God what he want, why you shouldn't, that decision that person took, is it according to the prescription of the Holy Spirit? So there are a lot of people executing programs in churches, in different assembly, that the content does not have a way of changing, and there's no life in that content because it's flesh-based. The flesh says, do this, and then it does it. Did someone, a member say, Pastor, we spend much time in church. How can we be spending 2 hours in church? Max, 1 hour, we are done. Why is it not fellowship? We gather and all that. That person is speaking from the flesh. He does not have the mandate of the church in his hand. He has not even journeyed in the spirit to know the mind of God for that assembly. And that's what informs unlawful assemblies these days. Unlawful assemblies these days. A man can decide that we are going to establish church in this area. If that area, that location is not spirit-led, you are not led by the Spirit to establish, what you are going to find is frustration. You are going to pack out of that place. Or you can be running that place with the money that is supposed to be used for evangelism and all that. You are pouring it in that place. So what you are doing is not in line with the prescription of the Spirit of God. So it's important for us to understand that the mind of God, the goal of God, is for the church to be orderly, to act based on the prescription of the Spirit of God. If you wake up one morning and you say, oh, because the church is doing this, and then you pattern your ways after, you pattern your program after the church, that is an unlawful assembly. And what you find in those kind of places are strife, contention, division, heresy, because what it is not. So what you find in the Corinthian church is not after the order of the apostolic doctrine. It's not part of it. So individual feels, I have a gift and I can, you know. And that is what happened when the leadership of the church has decided to go to act based on the flesh. The flesh will suggest a lot of things to you when you are a leader, when you are leading a church, when you are a leader of the home. The flesh is going to say, okay, let's take half of this money, let's pour it here, I think it's time for us to get this, to get on cable, TV, it's time for us to be heard on the local TV station, radio station. I think it's time to, that is the flesh prescription. If God has not said it's time for you to be heard, you are not the one that will erode that gospel. It's the Spirit of God that leads you to do certain things, and that's how the church grows. That is how a home grows. You can love a house. You pass through a street, you saw the house, and you say, it's time for us to move away from where we are right now. If you do that, what you are going to do is that you just altered what God is doing with your life. You altered it. And you can be in the wilderness journey because you bought that new house for another 10 years, achieving nothing. So it's important for us to understand the mind of God, and the mind of God is for us to do his will, to do things based on his own will, based on how the Spirit of God leads us. So we've seen things that actually makes up an unlawful assembly. When prescriptions, orders are not followed, people don't check with the Spirit of God to find out the mind of God about the decision. The leadership, they don't believe in the mandate. They don't even know what the mandate is, though they see it on paper, but they don't believe in it. There's no clear conviction. There's lack of discipline. A lot of things that happens. And that is not what God wants for his church. God wants us to inquire from him from time to time. So he's saying that he's not part of that thing you are building, because that thing you are building did not come from him. It's not spirit inspired. Your motivation is not from him. All the pattern is not from him. You just peeped and you see a local assembly doing something, and then you jump in, you say, this is how they do it. Okay, let's go ahead. That is not God. And God will not be part of that same assembly. So if anybody goes to the order of God, that person is going to be in a circle for some time. It's going to be in the wilderness journey for some time, wandering, until the person now decides that, let me follow God's ways. I want to believe God has blessed us today. And we've seen the example of the Garden of Eden. We've seen the example of the Tower of Babel being built. We've seen that the Corinthian church, they display so many gifts, but there is still divisions among them. So the gift of God is meant for you to navigate according to pattern what God wants to achieve through the church. So you can have the gift, but if you're walking disorderly, God will not be in the gathering of the people. Let's bow our heads as we commit ourselves into the hands of God this afternoon. Let's ask God for grace to do things based on his own prescription. Based on his own prescription, not our own will, based on his own prescription. You've seen the example of the church at Corinth. They are rich in gifts, they are rich in so many things, but there is still contention among them. There is envy, strife, there is fornication being reported, there is accusation, heresy. It was a comprehensive report. They don't dwell in unity. There's nothing like unity among them. Though they had the gift, they manifest the gift of God, but that is not all. If what we, the church, is building is not according to the prescription of God, is not led by the Spirit, is led by the flesh, that church would not grow. And anybody attending that church or that assembly for years, no, there won't be any change. No change, because there's no life in what is coming from the pulpit to the pew. Let's pray that God will help us as individuals to understand his mind. When we understand God's mind, things become clearer, things become easier, because what God wants to do through us, he wants us to pattern our lives through what he wants to do through us, through what is written of us. Pray God will help us in Jesus' name. And so our God in heaven, we thank you for today. We bless your name. We are grateful a lot unto you for making this day a possibility in our lives. We pray, we ask you, O God, that as we pattern our lives after your own order, after your will, and we follow through your Spirit, we pray that you will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that where we've fallen short of grace, we pray that you will help us up in Jesus' name. Lord, we are repenting today, and we pray that you give us the grace to follow your will, to do your will according to your desires in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know it is done. Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I want to believe we have been blessed today, and we just want to remind us tomorrow is a prayer meeting. We're still gathered here between 12 and 1 to pray. I want to encourage us to come, and I pray that God will bless our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.